Morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to this morning's shiur. Thank everybody for coming. Today's shiur, we want to pick up. About 6 weeks ago, we did a shiur on Rav Henkin, where we tried to define a halachic personality, not just on a biographical sketch, but based on his halacha. Because people's halacha, a posek's halacha, that gives us a glimpse into the true person, true halachic man. And this week we decided to take up the stature of Rav Avi Yosef. One Ashkenazi, one Sephardi. Maybe next time we'll do, I don't know what else is in between. Hasidic posek. Rav Avi Yosef is absolutely an amazing, amazing story. And just to give a short biographical background, in fact, I believe here the biographical background is important for understanding the halacha and the stances that he took. We know, I guess you summarize who Rav Avi Yosef was in one line. He was this Adam Gadol of super caliber, tremendous posek, who was the posek for the Sephardic world, but really affected a lot of the Ashkenazic world too. And if there's one man who just uplifted the entire Sephardic people, those are Rav Avi Yosef. And at his Levaya, which was attended, one of the biggest Levayas ever in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, was attended by close to 1 million people. It was unbelievable the effect that he had on so many. Rav Avadya was born in 1920 in Baghdad. Baghdad, Iraq, had a big Jewish community and very much influenced by the Sephardic Gaon, the Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim. So much so, Rav Avadya Yosef was named after him. The name Yosef was named for the Ben Ish Chai. In fact, it's interesting. Rav Avadya Yosef's last name was not Yosef. It was really Ovadia. His father's name was Yaakov Ovadia. Now, really, the name Avadia that his father had, I think he inherited from his father. So, in Sephardic custom, you could name a child after your parent, live or deceased. So he wanted to name after his father, so he named this his oldest son, Avadia, Avadia Yosef, Avadia. So, obviously, that's not the best name for a kid to have in school. You might get picked on Avadia, Avadia. So, he kept as a surname his second name, Avadi Yosef, and that's what the family keeps today. But Yosef is very important. That name came from the Ben Ish Chai. He was named after the Ben Ish Chai. He was born in Baghdad, but by the age of 4, his family moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he started learning in Eretz Yisrael. There he had some degree of exposure. One of the other big Sephardic poskim, besides the Ben Ish Chai, was someone named the Kafa Chaim, of Yaakov Chaim Sofer. In fact, he was studying in the same base shul as a young kid with the Kafa Chaim, and an earthquake hit Eretz Yisrael, hit Yerushalayim. It was a 6.2. An entire shul that he was learning in shook, and this little kid was quite scared of the situation. This Chacham, the Kafa Chaim, went, found him in the building, tried escorting him out. They found that the stairway down was demolished by the earthquake. Luckily, they were able to scream for help, and they brought ladders up, and they got down this Chacham, the Kafa Chaim, together with young Avadi Yosef. Years later, it's quite interesting, after the Kafa Chaim was nifter, he wrote an entire amazing set of Sfarim on halacha, he was short finishing, I think, the chelak in Yeridah by a few simanim. And they needed somebody, they wanted to publish a complete set on all of Shulchan Aruch. How are they going to do that? Who would have the bekiyas? So a young Avad Yosef was drafted for that task, and he finished up the writing on the Kaf HaChayim, paying back Hakar Satov to the Rav who helped save his life. He went and enrolled in the yeshiva Parat Yosef. Parat Yosef is one of the oldest Sephardic yeshivas, right? They have a building in the Old City. Unfortunately, it's their second building in the Old City. The first one was destroyed by the Arabs, maximum. In fact, now they have another building in Geula. In fact, the yeshiva Parat Yosef, who is Yosef that it was named after? The same, the Ben Ishchai. He was behind the starting of the yeshiva, and they named the yeshiva Parat Yosef. So there's a lot of influence in the Sephardic world in those days, very much so by the Ben Ishchai. Bavadja really had a few different stints. He was in Parat Yosef as a yeshiva. He was learning there. The Rebbe, which he became most, was his Rebbe Muvlak, was Ezra Atiyah. It was Rosh Yeshiva in Parat Yosef, and he was very close to him. So much so, you know, this is in the early 20th century. We know the poverty situation in Israel was tremendous. There is rampant poverty everywhere, and Avadi Yosef's family suffered from it. And part of the way they made Parnassa was they had a little grocery shop. And at a certain point, his father said, you know, it was too hard to do. He needed help. And he asked his young son, who was already learning in yeshiva, if he could take off some time during the day and come to the shop. Story has it, it's been confirmed, that he was gone for a day or two, and they noticed Avad Yosef, the young prize Talmud in yeshiva, wasn't there. The Rosh Yeshiva of Ezra Atiyah went to the store and asked, what's with young Avadya? So his father said, look, I need him in the store. Without batting an eyelash, this Chacham of Ezra Atiyah took off his rabbinic jacket, went to the back, saw there was an apron, started putting on the apron. He said, I'll work in your store, but let him sit and learn. That made obviously a bit impact on Ravadja's parents. They let him return. He was already, at the age of 17, he was already giving speeches, shiurim, to people. Not just younger Talmidim in the yeshiva, but he already was giving shiurim to adults. Ravadja Yosef had this charismatic interaction with his audience. And for years, he was always able to give shiurim to all types of chachamim, but also balabatim. In fact, one of his early shiurim, very interesting, the way he did it, was he would tell stories and jokes. Throughout the years, that was always, if you listen to his Motzei Shabbos shiur, there always are stories and jokes. He would interdispense with all the halacha, the Torah that he was teaching. In fact, one of the ways he got people to come was, I don't know if he made up or told over a story, but he told over the story as a serial, little bits each day. This way, people wanted to know the story, so they kept on coming back each night to hear the story. In fact, sometimes the people would shepherd him, you know, he'd go on and on teaching halacha, so they said to him, Lo ha-medrash hu ha-ikar, ela ha-maisa. Really, the chazal means the ikar is not just learning, it's the actions. But it's a play on words. No, we're not just coming for your drashas, we're coming for the stories. That's how he did it. He was appointed a dayan at the age of 22. Got married, had different positions. By 1947, which means he was 27 years old, he was appointed, it was actually his rebbeim, encouraged it, become the chief rabbi of Egypt, of Cairo. And that's the period of time, you know. Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, he went down to Mitzrayim, and he did a lot for the community, but there was also a strong resistance to his strong Torah teachings, and the relationship didn't last. He was there for about 3 years. He came back to Eretz Yisrael in 19, had different, he was in Kolel, learned in different places, started writing Svarim. In 1969, he became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. And 1973, he became the Rav Rashi, the chief rabbi of Israel, a position that he held, chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, position that he held for 10 years, from 73 to 83. Sher would not cover all the politics of him opening the Shas party. He started a, just like there's this Chinuch Atzmo, system of yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, which are dati schools trying to inculcate Torah learning amongst the masses in Israel. When he saw that that wasn't filling to the fullest for the Sfardim, he started a similar track for them. And like we said, by the time he was Nifter, what this one man accomplished for Sephardic Jewry is unbelievable. I decided, in terms of understanding this person through the prism of halacha, I want to pick on three areas. I think these three areas will show a lot about the person, his perspective in halacha, and his impact on Klal Yisrael, and why Rav Avad Yosef truly is a gadol for all people. The first area is not one specific shiloh. It's a general approach to psak halacha. Now, Rav Avad Yosef, there's no shiloh, was somebody who was fit to be a posek. He was somebody that absolutely mastered. He was a genius. Many say he had a photographic memory. He loved svarim. He got his hands on k'mat any sefer possible. And you read the tshuvas, the longest, he wrote a set of Yabia Omer, Shalos Tshuvos, which are 10 volumes. And this is a size print. The amount of tshuvas that he quotes, of sources that he quotes, to any question, dwarfs anybody else. The amount of bekiyas that he had, the length and breadth, is unbelievable. So he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous Gadol, tremendous Posek. And as we'll get to the stories, he had the right to do what he did. Till Rav Avadya came about, the Sephardic world was probably quite fragmented. And there's good reason for that, right? The Sephardic world is made up from many different communities throughout the Middle East, other areas. And over the centuries, different minhagim, different ideas, you know, a Yemenite Jew won't look the same as a Moroccan Jew. Bukharian won't look the same as a Persian. Right? A Georgian, a Mexican, an Iraqi. Everybody was different. And there are a lot of differences and nuances in halacha in the Sephardic world. It's probably easy to say, you know, the 10 lost tribes. You know, there are 10 tribes of Sephardim. All different. And one of the biggest forces in the Sephardic world, as you mentioned before, was the Ben Ishchai. Right? That's the Yosef that Rav Avadya carried his name his whole life. And that's the Parat Yosef. The Ben Ishchai lived one generation before Rav Avadya. In fact, the Ben Ishchai's son passed away the day of Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya was the oldest son in the family. And there was a Pidgin HaBen. At the end of the Levaya for the son of the Ben Ishchai, Rav Avadya Yosef's father, invited everyone to come to the Pidgin Aben. There were thousands of people at young Rav Avadya Yosef's Pidgin Aben. So they overlapped somewhat the generations, Ben Ishchai's family and Rav Avadya's family. There were people that learned by the Ben Ishchai, which also learned and had a shaychus to Rav Avadya Yosef. So there's one sefer, if you look on the top of your sheets. One of the first things that when Rav Avadya was asked to give share, he was asked to give share on the sefer Ben Ishchai. And this is a sefer that Rav Avadya Yosef knew quite well. Somebody testifies he was once in Rav Avadya's study, and the shalom came up with Ben Ishchai, so he went, Rav Avadya asked him to get the sefer off the shelf. This Rav got the sefer off the shelf, he flipped through the pages. There's no room on any margin. On every single margin of this page was tremendous notes that Rav Avadya Yosef had on it. He read through the sefer quite well. He respected it a lot. And he gave share on it. But let me read to you this introduction that Rav Avadya himself wrote. This is in the Sefer Halichas Olam, which is Rav Avadya Yosef's psukim with the Ben Ishchai. It says, Hinei b'mei chorfi ach shekibarti rishus meisom mori hagon Rav Ezra Atiyah. When I was young, after I had smicha from my Rebbe, Rav Ezra Atiyah, Yitzchalti lim sashir ka'alacha api seder Rav Ben Ishchai. L'kal kodesh me'oli fras, kum ahuvim kum berurim. I started giving a shir to some French Jews, right? All beloved, all beautiful. Hakoveim itim Torah. These are balabatim, people who kovei itim Torah. Adas chachma moser, lahavin imrei bina. Understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. The code of Mesiras Hashir, Yisi Mamechaka B'chol Halacha V'Halacha. Before I gave the share, I prepared every halacha. L'das Echanoi Halacha L'Maisel Hos as B'nai Yisrael. I knew I'm giving a share practically for these people, these Baal Batim are walking away from my share. I want them to know Halacha L'Maisel. Rora Yisi B'Sefer Ben Ishchai Kama V'Kama Halachos Nega Das Maron HaShulchan Aruch. When I look through these halachas well, I realize a lot of these halachas that the Ben Ishchai are writing are not like the psak of the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch, the Bet Yosef. Hei mishum sharav ish chasida milan. Firstly, this Rav was a big tzaddik, a big chassid, and sometimes he was more machmer and went different than the Shulchan Aruch. Hei mishum shekein hiske midaita harachava. But sometimes, because he argued with him based on his own stature. Ulam l'datenu divrei Ram Shulchan Aruch nechom Yosef amitim. However, it appears that the words of Maran Shulchan Aruch are Yoser are more correct and more true. Uveprach on the kablina horos Maran Shulchan Aruch bein lohakol bein lohachmer neishu mar da asra. The mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch has the stature of being the Mara da Asra, the Rav of the town being Israel, Eretz Yisrael. The Beis Yosef lived in Eretz Yisrael. He had the stature of being the Mara da Asra. Kamosha Amru, the Gemara in the Shabbos says, Kamosha Rabbi Eliezer, Karsim Eitzim, Mishabbos, Lasa Pachamim, Lasa Barzal, Ismael Shamila. That Rabbi Eliezer's place, they would do different things for the Bris Mila that others wouldn't do, because of the fact that it was his place. The chena minog eitzim mori horos lozen mehoros marana shulchan aruch yamil small. I'm not the first to go like this. There are many other poskim who wouldn't veer off the path of the mechaber shulchan aruch. Alchein chazrano al rishonos lodon lohoros kapitzkei marana shulchan aruch. Therefore, I went through all the halachos to practically teach it like the psak of the Beis Yosef. V'lo lintos midvarav yom v'smol, not to turn right or left. V'av shahay kamim ne bovel misramim olai. Shani posik negad sefer Ben Ishchai. This is the understatement of the century. Even though there are many people from, there are people from Iraqi Jews, their hometown Rav was the Ben Ishchai. And people were challenging me. Hiksa biyodu mori hagon rebezri atiyah. My Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, Parat Yosef, Rebbe Ezra Atiya, told me I'm doing the right thing. Not to listen to these people who don't understand. So Ravaji Yosef strongly went with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch against the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai many times would not go like the Shulchan Aruch. Whether it was because he wanted to be more machmer, whether he argued, the Ben Ishchai a lot of times is based on Kabbalah. And really a lot of the Sephardic tradition has a lot of Kabbalah mixed in. And Ravaji Yosef was insistent, we have to utilize halacha. There's a halachic process. We paskin things la halacha. And we have to go like the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch. He's the Mar D'Asra, he's the chief of the Sephardic poskim, and he's who we have to follow. And when he writes about this, that he had opposition, that's quite an understatement. Now, there's two biographies in English on Ravaji Yosef. There's one beautiful biography published by Art Scroll, but there's another one, a Sephardic biography published by this Rav Azulai. The Art Scroll biography doesn't tell this story, but the other one does. And Ravaji Yosef came out with one of his first svarim, Chazan Ovadia on Hilchas Pesach. I have one of the original copies. It's pretty cool. But when that sefer came out, so there was a lot in the street of this fight, and it wasn't just the rabble rousers in the street. There were many Rabbonim that were against him. How could he go and paskin against the Ben Ishchai? And it became a war. So much so that, I guess you call them fanatics, went and they burnt a Ravaji Yosef Svar.
Wait.
They burnt, it was actually, he has the Sefer Chavon Ovadia on Hilchas Pesach, they burnt it together with the Chametz. And when Ravaji Yosef found out about it, he was distraught. I'll say it one step clearer, and I'm holding back. He had a nervous breakdown. And he was out of commission for weeks. It's right there in the book. Unfortunately, this is the real side of, you know, this man, Ravaji Yosef, was a giant, but at the end of the day, he was a human being. And tough Israeli politics, Haredi politics, whatever you want to call it, Jewish politics, it can break a person. Everyone close to him went and was Menachem him and gave him chizuk. This sort of Ezra Atiyah supporting him, as you see, it was a big deal. And he overcame those challenges, got back up. And you look at the history, if anything, that made him a stronger person. Because he fought the battles that nobody else was ready to fight. He knows what it means to be knocked down. And he stood up for people. The fact, so what did this idea in Psak Halacha, so you paskin like the Beis Yosef, what really that means, it emerged two different sets of psak in Klal Yisrael. The Ashkenazic Jews would always paskin, that was already established through the ages, like the Ramah. The Sephardic world was a little bit in confusion. Rebbe Vadya just clarified it. So Ashkenazim go like the Ramah, but us Sephardim, we go like the Machaber. The battle lines were drawn much more clear. And this I didn't find in print. I'd love to talk. Here I know one of my friends, you know, Chashav Sephardic Rabbanim. There's a sefer, should have brought one in. Amazing work. There's a sefer, Amudei Hora, on the Mishnah Berurah. This sefer was single-handedly done by a Talmud on Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, who put together on the Mishnah Berurah as footnotes and then the back with greater explanations, Rabbi Lior Dahan. An amazing collection, just like Dirshu does on the classic Mishnah Berurah, he does for Sephardic Poskim. In fact, he's competing against some whole organization that has like 20, 30 Rabbanim putting together all the different Pesachim. This one-man show put together the whole thing with extensive, beautiful shiurim in the back. Amazing, amazing work. He was actually a Rebbe. Some of the Talmidim visiting from Queens might have known of him, by Lior Dahan. So I'd love to discuss with him this topic. I didn't get a chance. But I saw Rebbe Vajja, one of the things he fought was in the beginning of the State of Israel, when they tried to make uniform halachas, they really tried to make halacha uniform for everybody. Not getting into all the different issues where this came up. One was this famous case about Yibam, where in the Ashkenazic world, Yibam is not performed. In the Yemenite Sephardic world, it is. And there was resistance and different things. And Rebbe Vajja's position, the reason why, first, the Ashkenazic Rabbanim wanted one unified position, because there's elements in halacha, los iskodidu. You're not supposed to have agudos, agudos. All these different, you know, tribal differences. You put on the phone, you don't put on the phone, this one does that, this one does this. It's not healthy for Jewish community. It's not in the Torah. So Rebbe Vajja seemingly skirted the whole issue. Because you're right, if there are 20 different Sephardic customs, 20 different Sephardic halachas, so then you're right, we have to uniform. Okay, so maybe we'll just do the common practice of most observant Jews, Ashkenaz, and just do that. But Rebbe Vajja unified the Sephardic world. There, it wasn't agudos agudos, Rebbe Vajja held in many of these things. There was one thing. There's the Ashkenazic psak, and there's a Sephardic psak. Ashkenazim are going like the Ramah, Sephardim are going like the Beis Yosef. And that's what he did. So, Memela, that led to a clear standard in halacha and gave greater strength to the Sephardic halacha, Sephardic Masorah, that now Sephardim have the right to stand on principle and do their thing. Ashkenazim could do their thing and Sephardim could do theirs. And he really set up what we have now in the Baruch Hashem, in the Torah world, two tracks. You have an Ashkenazic psak and you have a Sephardic psak. And I want to show some differences with that. One we talked about a few weeks ago, I gave a share called Sfashkenaz, where we talked about if you have a mixed marriage, a Sephardi with an Ashkenazi, and these things come up. Recently someone asked me a shaila about it. But we mentioned the interesting psak of Ravaji Yosef, that in Eretz Yisrael, we mentioned, who's the Mara da Asra? It's the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is the Mara da Asra of Eretz Yisrael. So he so much so holds that, that normally we say a woman goes after the husband. But in a case of where they're living in Israel, and the woman is Sephardic, and the husband is Ashkenaz, there Rebbe Vajja writes, look, the whole reason a woman has to go after the husband is just like, because the woman follows the husband to his place. It's the same type of idea of a person moving towns. So for that matter, but if you're in Israel, which is the overreaching area of the Beis Yosef, so how could you compel this woman to go like the Ashkenazic psak if in this area she's in all right to go with the Sephardic psak, the Beis Yosef? So that was one area. But I want to show you another one. And this one is a very interesting halachic nafkamina, even to the degree that it will affect you if you have nice Sephardi bachrim by your table on a Friday night. If you look in the middle of your sheets, Hilchos, Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Siman Kuf Samaches, talks about the halachas of brachos, possible the kisnin, right? So we know this is a whole big topic unto itself. What is possible the kisnin? So yesh mafarshim pasosim in kisim shemamoso tavasho sukkar vagozim shkedim utavlin v'nikrin some type of pockets that you fill with different sweet things. V'yesh omim shu isa. No, it's a regular dough. Sha'arav bo dvash ol shemen ol cholav ol mini tavlon. It's a dough where mixed into the dough are some sweet things. Honey, oil, milk. V'yesh tamat ruvas ameh peiros ol tavlon nikar b'isa. And the taste, Machaber's writing, possible to kiss then, the taste is recognizable. You taste that sweet thing. The Yesh Omrim, the Ramah writes, Shazin Nikra Pas Gomer. No, if you have a dough which has some sweet things in it, so now that's bread. El Imkin Yesh Bo Harbe Tavon Dvash Minim Sika Shakon Likas Shakamada Dvash Vatavon Hema Iker V'chein Nohagin. So if you have a dough which is made with something in it sweet, you have an egg challah. So the Ramah is clearly saying that is a dough, that's pas gomer, 100% the brachas hamotzi. That's not this idea of possible b'kissin, which would only be a mazonos. If you look, the Mishnah Berurah writes, v'chein noagin, sha'ofen lecha mishnah and pas, mishnah pas, ma'at shemen v'tavlin. We have some oil, some spices in that to give taste to our challah. And all the achronim halacha paskin like the Ramah. That's in the Ashkenazic world. If you look in the bottom of this version of the Mishnah Berurah, which has the psakim of Ravad Yosef, he writes, Avo anan bididon kidas moran ha-shulchan aruch. We go like the Mechaber of Shulchan Aruch. Shekol shenikar tama mesikas bepas berchasel bari meim nizonos v'al mechya. Anything which the bracha, which has this sweetness in it, the bracha is bari meim nizonos. L'chein chalas ha-mesukim shenigrash b'am tam mesikas berchasel bari meim nizonos. If you have any of these sweet echalas, halacha would be you'd make a mezonos, and you'd only make an al mechya afterwards. The in yotzim de chovashol sudos. You're not yotze the din of three sudas and Shabbos. Unkin kovea suda aleim, unless you eat a ton of it. This is your whole ikar suda, you kovea suda on them. Vechein haminog, makom yari shemayim, lo yo'ochlam el betocha suda. Yari shemayim shall only eat these within the meal, but not as the bread for the meal. Rather, what you have to have is simple water challah. This is a big deal. Since Rav Avad Yosef is setting up, look, Ashkenazim go through Ramah, right? Bnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah, but the Svardim go with the Psak of Mechaber Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, what that means is if you would have a Svardic Yeshiva Bacher at your table, and normally most people like Ed Chalos better than Water Chalos, right? But really, for him to be yotze his din of eating bread on Shabbos, you can't give him, you know, an echala. He would make him a mazonos on that. You have to give him water challah. Some of the boys here in yeshiva, they know this. Yeshiva prepares them. They come with water challahs. Explain to the person, this is what we do. But this is black and white. This is a psak. Rabbi Avadi Yosef says, if you paskin like the Mechaber, not like this Ramah, which is a Sephardic Pesach, it comes out, you can't have regular Echala, you have to have Word Echala. Fascinating halacha. Yes?
The initial bracha, or can they have the water challah during the meal?
So even for the initial bracha, yeah. They can't make hamotzi on it. They're make mazonos.
They're being yotze by someone.
Yeah, but they still have to eat it. Right? He's... When they're being yotzei with somebody, he's not eating for them. Yes?
He can't just pull out a matzo because it's a question if they can make a matzo on that.
Oh, yes. I had someone visit me. I had a whole beautiful group of Sephardic Bachram on my table this week. So someone came to visit, and he saw how the Sephardic Bachram were beautifully benching. And it takes a while. So he says to me, now I know why they make mazonos and all these types of breads and matzah. Yeah, not so simple.
So how can matzah
Go to a Sephardic house in Pesach, they'll tell you. Yes. So that's one example of this approach to Psak Halacha of Rav Avadya Yosef. He strongly took the position in the Beis Yosef, took it to the max. We go like the Beis Yosef everywhere. We don't go like other Sephardic positions, the Ben Ishchaya or others, Chidah, other areas in Halacha, other things might be more based on Kabbalah, other things. In fact, I'll tell you an interesting story. You know, Rav Avadya Yosef, we all know he wore sunglasses all the time. He had an eye problem. The eye problem really started. He, as we said, he loved Svarim. And he was famous for finding himself in any library, any place to get his hands in Svarim. And he learned them even late at night. And wouldn't be sufficient lighting. It hurt his eyes. It hurt his eyes so much, he almost lost his vision. And there really was a point in his life where his vision was almost lost. And he went with his son to the kever of the Beis Yosef up in the famous Tzfas Cemetery. And he davened by the kever of the Beis Yosef. And he davened because he was already very much involved in this Psak Halacha to go like the Beis Yosef. And he begged the Beis Yosef, please, I want to, you know, excuse the pun, show your vision of Halacha to the world. I need my eyesight. And he was miraculously cured, but for the rest of his life, he always wore those sunglasses to protect his eyes. So that's Rabbi Avadya Yosef's dedication to the Psak of the Beis Yosef. A second area, and this Rabbi Avadya was also quite famous for, was his Piskei Halacha in terms of Agunos. After the Yom Kippur War in 1973, there were, unfortunately, close to 1,000 Jewish women whose husbands didn't come back. And they had, Israel had for the first time, en masse, such a big Shiloh of Agunos. Now think about it. 1973 is quite important, because that's just when Rav Avadya Yosef became the chief rabbi of Israel. Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it. He's actually talked from before. Imagine he walks into the position faced with such a crisis of close to 1,000 women without seemingly, you know, stuck, agunas. And Rav Avadya Yosef sat every single day, constantly going through files and situations, and trying to matter all these different agunas. And it was his life's work for those years, day in and day out, work on case after case. Some cases were easier than others. If you have someone in between who was with them and they know that he fell, fine. But many cases, something blew up, there weren't remains. One of the shilas he dealt with, if you look in the back of your sheets, he says, "Beheter aguno shel mechamas yom kippurim." He says, "Also medivri achronim godol hamitzvah achovu mataras amori ara." Rav Avadya Yosef brought many, many poskim that talk about the importance hamataras amori ara laval yantik lahazik lahoras bedine agunos. You have to very much so take a stand in Agunos, do whatever you can. What if there's room for a heter, to find a heter to allow this woman to get remarried? And he writes, "Don bizihi achalolam api discos shabbos havarim." When I first read this, I wasn't exactly sure what discus was, but I figured it out. Dog tags. What's the halachic status of a dog tag? You find around the neck of a soldier, or sometimes not around the neck, in his pocket, a dog tag. It says his name, it says his rank, it says his Israeli army number. Is that sufficient proof for him, for the wife to get remarried? You can't recognize any other feature of Rachman son in his body, but you have the dog tag. Is that enough? And it's not Pashat. You look further, he writes. In Halacha, Gemara, end of Yevamos, talks about these cases of someone who goes off, doesn't come back. And let's say that he has, you know, a signet ring, he has some staff, and the Gemara says that's not a valid proof for the person. Because anything movable, a person could lend out. You could lend out your stick, your ring, or some other aspect of that you have. How's that proof that you're the person? You lent it out. The difference of Ravadia strongly held in this case is nobody gives out their dog tag. The dog tag is you. That identification that you wear, even if it was in your pocket. We have the right to assume that that was the person who is there and allowed the women to get remarried based on these dog tags. Fascinating. There's a tshuva. You read the next one. This was unfortunately years later. Shelo Shenishon Bezin Horaba Arsus of Bris, New York. B'Shali Cheshvan Tovshin Samach Beis. 2001. B'Dvar HaPkia HaNora Shenasa Ba'Arsus of Bris. Chav Gimel El Tovshin Samach Aleph. Ashamei Olam Lohaya Kin Kamohu. Right? He's talking about the 9/11. World Trade Center. This attack was on the Twin Towers in America. That these destructive Arabs. It took a big airplane. Their whole intention was to plow this plane into the building. Vinegruko knows him, and it killed all the people on the plane. As Chalkas Eish Norim and Adelikam Shabbat and Hamatas, and the fire which came about from the fuel of that plane, Betoch Migdal Teumim hit this tower. Bechol Ovde Chevras Cantor Fitzgerald. He had all the details here. Shemeshadrehu Haya Bekomas Amigdal Bekoma Mea 101. Ad Koma 105, Kishesh Mails over them. He had 600 people working for Cantor Fitzgerald. Kum Nosfu Meish and Nora and Shalom and Adleka Shabbat and Amatas. Everybody for Cantor Fitzgerald passed away because that plane was the direct hit on their offices. So the Shaila was about this Sephardic man that worked the Koma Mea Va'arba. He worked on the 104th floor. And the woman says, "Bali Iskashe Lai telephoned in the Mishra B'Shah Shmona V'Esrim Baboker." Her husband called her at 8:20 that morning to wake her up. And after the plane hit, which is at 8:46, then a point later, the husband did call her. Right? She was nervous about it. She called him. And Bishma Shmona V'chamishim Ushtayim at 8:52, a few minutes after the impact, the husband called back and he says, you know, yeah, it's crazy over here. And they're evacuating the building. From that point on, she never heard of him. So he was alive after the impact on floor 104. And he called back a few minutes later. But that's the last thing she heard. What's the din in such a case? And this tshuva Ravadia goes through a lot of sources and a lot of proofs. And this too he was able to matter. He goes through painstaking every little thing. They had it. They clearly were able to place him. They had the cell phone records. He sent emails out that morning from his office computer, which they were able to track. There was no smartphones. They clearly that email stemmed from his computer, from his office. He was there in the building. He was where he was. And based on different studim, Rav Avadja was ready to mater this woman to get remarried. Absolutely, you know, heartbreaking. Even left out a few details of that particular case. It's too heartbreaking. But this is what Rav Avadja dealt with. And he was the address, not just for Sephardic Shilas, for Ashkenazic Shilas. He was looked upon as a tremendous posik in these areas. He had so much expertise dating back to the Yom Kippur War as a baki in Hilchos Agunot. And he was able to find these heterim for these women who otherwise wouldn't get remarried. I'll touch one story on this part. And be careful when I say this. I know I have multiple doctors in the audience. But I'll tell you the story the way it's written. And again, this story, I'm not sure, is something that others could replicate. You have to know who you are. But this is what Rabbi Avadja did. Rabbi Avadja Yosef, the story was said over by his son at the Levaya. Rabbi Avadja Yosef, through the years, did different health issues. In the later years, he had some degree of a heart attack. And the doctor said, okay, they're going to have to do a procedure on him. Rav Avadja Yosef asked from his kids, okay, I make one request. I go home for 2 hours. Daddy, Tati, Abba, what are you doing? He just had a heart attack. He was awake. He says, they have to do this procedure. He's like, ask the doctors, could they push it off for 2 hours? Obviously, when Rav Avadja Yosef would come back in, he'd be the first one wheeled in, he'll be taken care of. It wasn't that the chuf that it needed dafka that second. But he asked, could we push it off for 2 hours? He wants to go home first. What do you need in his house? They took him home. He got his will. He said he was in the middle of writing a tshuva to Matar Naguna. He says, I don't know if I'm going to make myself walk out of this surgery alive. He says, you give me 2 hours, I can permit this woman to get remarried. So instead of being wheeled into the emergency room, Rav Avadja Yosef was wheeled back into the study, finished writing that tshuva, and saved this woman. That's who he was. The third area which I would talk about with Rav Avadja Yosef was his psak lagabe Ethiopian Jews. And this too, I would say, I went through, you know, different write-ups on him. It just didn't make the art school biography either. But Rav Avadja Yosef was faced with the shaila. There are many Jews coming from Ethiopia that people claiming to be Jewish. Do we accept their claims? Or no? Don't consider them Jewish. The only way they're Jewish is they have a geiris. Rav Avadja himself sent close talmidim, close chaverim, to Ethiopia to investigate everything. And he went through, I have the tshuva here on the bottom, and he found two earlier sources that defined these Ethiopian Jews from decades earlier as Jews. So he says, once they defined them as Jews, in halacha we have the concept of a chazaka. We have a legal status. Once you have, they're defined as Jews decades ago. Once they're defined as Jews, now we have a chazaka that we can continue on with that psak, with that understanding. Even in the face of a lot of people challenging him. And this was challenged by many, many other people in Eretz Yisrael. Many Ashkenazim and stuff. And Ad Hayom, really, the status of Ethiopian Jews, unfortunately, there's a lot of, you know, discrimination and other issues. But Rav Avadja was in the forefront. No, these 100% have the din of Jews. I saw a beautiful story. One time, you know, Rav Avadja Yosef's house was very hard to get in. Multiple reasons. Obviously, he was the big power player, you know, in the world, Israeli Torah world. But it's also the fact his life was threatened multiple times, and they had that real tough security. So to get in the minyan with the Rav Adja wasn't so easy. One time at one of his minyanim, he saw in the back of the minyan were sitting a couple of Ethiopian yeshiva bachrim, and they were sitting in the back. And he saw just from their body language, they'd walk into a room, they would sit in the back, very young. After the minyan, he sends his gabbai, please tell them to come to the front, I want them to come into my room. They're all nervous. What's he going to do? Did we do something wrong? And he went there and sat there and hugged them and kissed them and praised them. He says, you give me so much nachas that you're sitting in yeshiva and you're learning. And no, you shouldn't view yourself as a second-class citizen. He got discriminated against in life, but he would do anything to uplift the stature of another Jew. Doesn't matter what he looks like. That's what Rav Adya Yosef did. So I think these three areas in halacha, his general approach to psak halacha, which has many, many ramifications to us, what he did in the realm of Agunos, as well as the chapter on the Ethiopian Jews, which the Israeli government used his psak to bring many Ethiopian Jews to Israel, is a tremendous legacy. It shows us a glimpse of this person. I want to just end with two things. I had a Talmud of mine, a member back in Brooklyn, whose family was well connected. Remember one that year, you know, this guy's father is big in Uman. So the Talmud asked me, Rebbe, can I go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah? Okay, my father runs this whole program, he talks all about it, okay, fine. So he goes to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. Comes back, 2 days later, Rebbe, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur. I was going to slap him. What? You just went to Uman for a few days for Rosh Hashanah. Now you're running and going to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur? Rebbe, you don't understand. I got into the private minyan in Rav Adya Yosef. I'm like, oh, Phil, come on. Yeah, you know, you're a globetrotter. You're going here, you're going there. Learn. Okay, he's insisting. Fine, he went. Davened by Rav Adya. I remember he came back to me, what that impact of davening 1 year. This is one of the, I think it was the second to last year of Rav Adya's life. He davened in his private minyan by Rav Adya Yosef. And at Motzi Yom Kippur, everyone goes to eat. So they brought all food, everyone's eating. He said he watched. Everybody was eating. Rav Adya Yosef had some cake and drink. And then he snuck away. The rest of the family sitting eating. He went back to his study and just started to learn. The impact that this had on a 17-year-old Bachar, what the importance of Limud HaTorah is something, just to see that in action. Here, this older person, he spent the whole day in shul, davening, but away from learning. More than he needed food, he needed learning. And I'll end, such a beautiful story, the end of the art school biography. They have a postscript they call If the Svarim Could Speak. His whole entire life, Rav Adya Yosef, was somebody who treasured Svarim, who treasured to find another idea in halacha, another source to establish a position, and he loved Svarim. His room was filled with them, and he knew them from page to page. The family says when they were bringing him to the hospital for the final time, which he didn't recover, and he was leaving his house. So you know, he knew this might be the last time. Obviously, not an easy thing. But what got him to break down in tears when he left his study for the last time. In that room, he sat and, you know, he might have been a political figure, might have been someone. He did go out to the people and gave shurim all around Eretz Yisrael. What was quite amazing about this man was the power of Jews, the Jewish leaders, Poskim and Gedolim, have done through the centuries. He was a man of the book, man of many books. From that study in his house in Har Nof, he affected and changed the lives of so many. May his story and life be inspiration for all. Thank you very much.